A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus, again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. The second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then the king said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth.' Many are invited, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord. Our particular familiar text here from the Gospel of Matthew is also rather strange, especially in relationship to those who were drawn into the wedding feast at the last moment, and then the awkwardness of one not having on a wedding garment as if he should have or could have, or as if all the others did, who were invited at the last minute and really rounded up. It makes most sense to see this text as a conflation in some ways of several different stories or incidents, at least coming from different times in Jesus' preaching. Really, there's probably three different incidents here. The first concludes with, "And, of course, they gathered all together, and the hall was filled with guests." So that particular parable comes to a good conclusion. Those invited did not respond. Others were then called upon, the outcast, so to speak, and the wedding feast was full. Indicating, of course, in many ways how the Jewish people, or others later, like ourselves, are invited, but if indeed we do not respond to the call, there are others who we might consider unworthy or of less dignity than ourselves, nevertheless, the ones to whom Jesus himself went, the outcast, the sinner. Then think of the next story as separate from that. It's connected here just because it's also about a wedding feast in its own way. And here, one of the guests is without proper attire. It makes sense if they had been invited and if they were guests at a wedding and if the person did not come properly dressed, it shows a lack of understanding, sensitivity, respect, or something. And so indeed, the person is set aside, sent out. The last little proverb could easily have followed it, except it too is a little strange in its own way. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Wouldn't it be better to say, many are invited, but few respond? For those invited, you would think, had already been chosen. So perhaps it too was simply a proverb on some other occasion that Jesus used or coined. What is most significant, however, with all three of these, if we separate them out, is how they are quite a contrast to the actual response to the psalm that we have on this day. The psalm response says, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." Often, there is some connection between the response to the psalm and the gospel text. But today, that seems not to be there. For in all of the incidents we have the exact opposite, or at least a contrast, we might say. In the first story about those who were invited, but excused themselves or chose not to come or even harmed and killed the servants who came, issuing the invitation, undoubtedly none of them could say to the king, "Here we are, we have come to do your will." They are quite the contrary, those who chose not to do the will of the king, those who were self-willed, those who absented themselves from the invitation. Likewise, the man who was not properly dressed at the wedding, without a wedding garment, one could say, again, a lack of respect, a lack of understanding, a lack of appreciation, that he was not in any way conscious of what is appropriate of, "Here I am, Lord, I desire only to do your will." And perhaps that also then helps us to understand that last proverb, many are invited, but many do respond. Many are not able to say, "I long to do your will. Here I am to do your will." And so although they have been invited, they are not chosen because they are not able to or willing to, desirous of doing the will of the Lord. So in some ways, it seems to me the key to the reading today does lie in that response to the psalm by way of contrast, pointing out to us what is important. If we are invited and to be chosen, if we are to respond to the invitation that God has given each of us through Christ, if we are to be proper in our response, properly attired, it means doing God's will. If we are, of course, and this day is also actually a commemoration of St. Bernard, for whom, if anything, a notion of the love of God and the spirituality of the heart is important, what is it that enables us to do God's will, or to respond to the invitation, or to be properly attired, or to be chosen, other than letting our heart be involved in our response? It's not an intellectual conviction saying, "Oh, this is what I should do." That might be fine, but it doesn't move us. Nor is it willpower. I will do what God wills. No, in the end, if it's to flow freely and fully from the core of who we are, that response to the invitation from God has to come from our hearts. And so the question is my openness to God's call to be united with God in love, is that openness coming from an open heart and an open mind, not a heart that blocks its energy, but rather one that's opened up? It seems to me the invitation to which so many were unable to respond is the invitation to open ourselves, heart and mind, to our divine lover, and thus to be embraced and be able to say heartfully and freely, "Here I am, Lord. I do long to do your will."